So if you reflect on the history of the world, so all these, there are a whole lot of great, number of people who were being led to astray because of his mistaken idea of the reality, that everything is so permanent, so concrete and absolute. This then will not awaken the person to embrace or engage in the practice of the spiritual path. So in our case as well, so however well we may proclaim ourselves to be a spiritual person, but if you look at or reflect well as to how we live our life, we see that we tend to just let our time pass by with purely being dominated by thinking of everything to be eternal, everything so unchanging, concrete. And then the elderly people, the Tibetan people, so they would assume the air of saying recitations, mantras, and so forth. But they would have a, deep down, they would have a sense of impermanence, sense of mundane concerns. So then, for example, myself, I'm sitting on this throne giving teachings, and if I'm not careful, there is a possibility that I can generate a sense of pride, or sense of a very mistaken idea that, oh, so while I'm teaching, so people, what they may be saying, are they praising me, or are they feeling repulsive of my teachings? Are they irritated, and so forth? So these are what we call as the mundane concerns. So there is every danger that the very teachings or the practice that you may do may not be something very authentic or something very sincere, something very pure. So this will then lead us to become such a kind of the icon where you assume the air of a practitioner, and deep down you're just a mundane, ordinary person. So for me, I've already reached my 70s, and then if I'm not careful, so then my whole life will be wasted without any meaning in essence. When you're very old or a child, you don't remember the Dharma, nor in the interim, due to food, drink, sleeping, sickness, and so forth. Even if you live for 100 years, the opportunity to practice the Dharma remains only potential. Although you may be unsure whether you will die today or not, siding with the former is the way of the wise. If you act on the basis of the latter, when death arrives, you will be regretful, as death will come. Is it not best to remain prepared, reflecting on the uncertainty of the time of death? So, if you can reflect on the impermanence of death, so there will be tremendous beneficial consequence in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. So the lifespan of the southern continent is quite uncertain, reflecting that death is uncertain because of the fragility of our bodies. So it is not the case that because there exists a phenomenon called death that we should be fear of, but it is because after our death, there is the very destination, the journey that we are to continue after death. So that is very uncertain. So someone who can really reflect on the impermanence of death, so there, the greatest person, the most successful practitioner, would have tremendous sense of joy at the time of death. and someone of the middle capacity, or the middle who is successful at the middle degree, so that person won't have a sense of unhappiness or difficulty at the time of death. And at least for some, however small he may be in terms of his the success of his practice, so at least he would have no regret at the time of death. So whereas if you're not ready at all by your reflection on the importance of death, so one day when you're sick, and then you call upon the doctor, and then when the doctor says that, oh, you have a cancer, so there's the very overwhelming kind of experience would take over. So nothing that you can do to protect that. So, and then however, different ways that you may employ to avoid this problem by trying to seek the guidance of Lama, or you seek the definition by an oracle or Naga, whatever. So there, no one can do anything then. So then, even at such a difficult, critical stage, if you seek a doctor, so the doctor's medication also won't have any impact on you. As such, you may even come to a point whereby you tend to then doubt on your guru, doubt on the doctor, and so forth. So whereas, on the contrary, if you can reflect on the impermanence of death right from the beginning, and then when the actual day of the passing away befalls on you, say there, then you can, just because of your being well prepared, you can develop or generate a very powerful state of, a virtuous state of mind at the time of death, and that should be a kind of guarantee that you are going to have a proper journey to the next life. So because of this recollection of the impermanence of death would then lead you to making preparation in all ways for the next life. So if you neglect by way of not reflecting on impermanence, and then if you face the death, so there will be a terrible experience. So while we are still alive, with freshness in terms of your mind and body, so if you can reflect on the death, the impermanence of death, and then the aftermath of the death. So again, to really be a successful reflector on these concepts of the rebirth and so forth. So first of all, you have to reflect on, reflect and analyze as to whether or not there exists life after death or the next life. But those people who claim that there is no life after death or rebirth, so the only reason they can employ would be to say that, oh, I cannot see life, the rebirth. But this is not something proper. So it is absolutely insufficient to conclude the absence of rebirth simply because you cannot see. And by way of constant reflection on this process of rebirth, whether or not it is tenable, the idea of the rebirth, you reflect once, twice, thrice, and so forth. So if you gain, ultimately, if you gain a kind of very strong conviction that, oh, indeed, there is no life after death and so forth, so there will be something acceptable. But whereas if you do the other way around, simply having some other people sharing the same idea that there's no the rebirth and so forth, and simply keeping that as the basis, and then if you make the conclusion that there's no rebirth, again that is nonsense. So whether or not something exists is not something in terms of the majority of people accepting the non-existence of that or the existence of that. For example, in my pocket, if it is the case that what is existent in my pocket, if everyone here so agrees upon something else which existed in my pocket, so this is not the reason for the existence of something in my pocket. So where is the handkerchief that is there in my pocket? Originally, you didn't see that, and you couldn't see that, and you didn't see that, and you didn't have it in your mind that there must be a handkerchief in my pocket. But this doesn't deny that there's no handkerchief in my pocket. So the ultimate reason those who deny the existence of the rebirth, the ultimate reason for them is simply that I cannot see it or I don't understand it. And as for the Tibetans, after becoming refugees, so it was as if like there was no one who is acquainted with the Tibetans originally, and then gradually the Tibetan people, they started begging for alms from other people, and then gradually in due course of time, the Tibetan people, they become now quite successful.